Hello, and welcome to LifeLab. I'm David Ponder.
And I'm Zach Schaefer.
We created a candid podcast for busy people. We get right to the point of our topics, and we keep them to 30 minutes or less.
We wanted to put our ideas out there, share it with people we love, and if it spreads, great.
Our show has no edits and no gimmicks.
Like it or don't, we initially started this project for ourselves, to record our thoughts for our kids, but our friends and family thought we should share it, so here you go.
Welcome to Life Lab, where we encourage you to experiment with life. I'm David Ponder.
And I'm Zach Schaefer.
Last time we talked about self-confidence, and this time we're going to talk about standing up and taking responsibility for your actions, responsibility for your decisions, and responsibility for their resulting consequences. We're talking about accountability.
Reliable, dependable, knowledgeable in a context. That's how I think about accountability.
I think about accountability like the opposite of pointing the blame.
Ooh, so Dwight, is it Dwight D? Is it D? Dwight D. Eisenhower?
That sounds right.
His the buck stops here.
Basically.
Right? That's the opposite of accountability.
It is. I think blame is the opposite
of accountability.
Yeah, blame
is, excuse me. Yeah. So he was trying to say, I'm an accountable president.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have liked the CEOs in the last 15 years who said, well, I'm CEO of a giant company. I don't know everything that's going on here.
That's right. That's right. But to give those CEOs a little bit of credit, right, to truly be accountable and to feel comfortable and I believe to be fairly held accountable, it requires control and freedom. If you don't have control or freedom, then sometimes blame is justified.
Well, you said one word that my brain jumped on is held accountable. So being accountable is different than holding someone accountable, right? So there are people who are just accountable on their own for their own values and their own reasons. But then there are other people who are accountable because they're held to being accountable by either a standard, an organization, an institution.
Expectations of others, I think, is being held accountable. So being accountable, it just depends on to who. You can be accountable to yourself by holding yourself accountable, or you can be accountable for consequences related to outside organizations based on other people's expectations.
So this is one of the biggest areas of my current consulting business, is helping people hold others accountable and have those difficult conversations because they don't know how to do it. And then what often occurs is defensive posturing and then conflict, lack of trust, lack of loyalty, et cetera, et cetera.
So blame is defensive posturing.
100%.
Yeah.
And all of us do it naturally in different areas in our lives. So for me, you can't hold others accountable if you're not accountable to yourself first. You have to first be that.
I agree with that. And that leads into something that basically it creates a culture. Your accountability presents itself to others, and then they see that activity as being acceptable. So if you are always missing deadlines, late to meetings, flaking out on, even if you're just talking about your friends, or even if we're not talking about work, your friends will then see that behavior as acceptable to reciprocate to you. So if I say, hey man, let's go hang out Friday night, and then all of a sudden I just stand you up, or at the last minute I say, hey, can't make it, then the next time that you guys go to hang out, they remember that.
And, absolutely. I'll give a real clear example to piggyback on the friend. A few years back, Kizzy and I were at a wedding, and she was out at the park, and we were staying overnight and bringing Claudia with us, and at the time, Claudia was an infant. So we needed someone to take care of Gizmo, and we didn't really know what to do at the time. We were going to board her. Well, she runs into ex-friend, and ex-friend, she says, oh, we're going to a wedding, says, hey, I'll come over and watch Gizmo. Take care of her. My wife calls me and tells me this, and I said, I'd rather board her. I don't trust X. It's fine. It'll go well. Well, what happens later that night at the reception? We get texts, you know, whatever happened, a nuclear spill or whatever occurred. Gizmo was in the house, of course, peed and shit everywhere and whatnot. And she was fine. The point is, the pattern of behavior that this person exhibited, I knew they weren't accountable over time. And so they've been cut out pretty much.
Yeah. And it's interesting because whether you know it or not, your actions have consequences. And accountability, your choice to become accountable or not accountable, I mean, it's all on you, what you want. But just understand that those consequences are going to come to play with the way that other people treat you.
I think accountable people are also disciplined to differentiate the difference between enabling and constraining structures, right? So that sounds very smart. Yeah, that's my $5 sentence for the day. A lot of academics will critique the idea of self-discipline. And what they mean by that is that you're taking on another, typically organization or institution, set of values and constraints, their rules, their policies, and their norms and expected attitudes. And then it forces you to start living that way on your own. So the separation between public and private begins to dissipate, right? And so now we're seeing all these companies with the Fitbits, and oh, if you have the Fitbit, then we'll pay this and that. And then if not, your insurance premiums go up. Mm-hmm. So they're starting to discipline you to become a fit human being so that they can save money.
That makes sense.
Well, at the end of the day, for me, an accountable person is able to differentiate, A, they're disciplined, but they know the difference between why they're disciplining themselves. Is it someone else's values, an organization's values, and do I accept those values?
Well, yeah, all of that's true, but I think it's advanced because there are people out there who struggle to become accountable to themselves on a daily basis to achieve the most meager things. I feel like accountability is stepping up and taking responsibility for success or failure, the consequences of your actions. It's the price you pay to achieve.
Okay, then let's go down that route. The biggest leader in the world, or who should be, the President of the United States. Can you give me a list of times that the President of the United States has come out and said, I was wrong. Here is exactly where I messed up. Here is what it cost the American public in lives, resources, money, time, missed opportunities.
No, but you're talking about politics. And politics, I think, is the ultimate blame arena. No one ever takes responsibility for their actions in politics, and that's why nothing gets done. I just said it's the price you pay to achieve. And in politics, they don't achieve.
No, but things do get done because we're able to be here right now.
Barely.
Having this, right? My threshold for an effective president is that they don't hit the nuclear bomb button. So whether you're Republican or not, since Eisenhower, no one's done it. The humans are still around. So they're at least doing a minimum function of keeping humans alive on a grand scale.
Okay, fine. But if you look, I'll flip that on its head and say, look at the list of things that politicians say that they will achieve when they're in office and compare it to what they actually do achieve at the end.
But that's promises. That's just how they get elected.
They never do because of the blame game. So I still think, and I'll go back to the statement that I made, so let's forget about it in politics, that accountability is the price you pay to be able to achieve. So there was a great quote that I wanted to bring into this, and it was, when we have begun to take charge of our lives, to own ourselves, there's no longer any need to ask permission of someone. So that's a way that it is related to freedom. So I said, you know, it requires control or freedom, because if you don't have that control or freedom, you have blame. But then on the flip side, on the negative side, it says, liberty means responsibility. That is why most men dread it. That was said by George Bernard Shaw. So, mm-hmm. So it does. Liberty and accountability, you know, they go hand in hand.
With responsibility.
With responsibility. You have to take responsibility if you're going to achieve. I mean,
okay, let's take it to a larger level. Again, I disagree with what you had said about politics. Politics defines everything we're able to do in this modern era in Western civilization. It does. Whether
okay,
we like it or
okay,
not. That, it does.
No, that's scale. Fair. That's fair. So, I'm just talking about recent.
I agree.
My
point is this. Attorneys. Accountants, professions whose job it is to create and find loopholes to keep those with wealth, who both of us want to become, in the wealth.
That's right.
That's right. So I'm accountable. Why? I have a team of people that are helping me stay on top of my game. If I'm not accountable, I will take you to the court of law and exercise my First Amendment to redress the government for grievances. Well, and we play. Then we get into that.
And that's all right. That's all true.
And it's legal.
And the the bullshit thing about that is that they are actually hitting targets. So if you're going to talk about accountability, right? It's so I'm going to step up and I'm going to say, all right, these were my decisions, and these are the actions that I took for those decisions, and these are the consequences that have occurred, and I'm responsible for them. So the bullshit thing about what you just said about lawyers and accountants and stuff, it's basically their job to make sure that regardless of what your decisions were or what, that they hit targets that are measured by those frameworks that you were talking about, right? So it's like, is this in the acceptable, you know, target range where you're not going to be penalized? Well, my accountant says so and my lawyer says so, so I can do it. I mean, you're still being accountable. You're just being accountable to a bullshit system. You brought up a very good point, which is knowing what system that you're accountable for or accountable to, and then deciding what, if you want to do it anyway.
To me, it's not that. It's knowing what my end goal is and knowing what bullshit I'm willing to put up with, and the fake it till you make it, going back to the self-confidence thing, knowing how far I'm willing to go in terms of my morals and values and push them from one side of the pendulum to the other.
Well, see, that you're right. You're not wrong.
I'm not trying to be right. No, I'm just saying,
I know,
I like to go to the game of attorneys and accountants. And I'm not putting down those professions. I have a team of those people around me, and they help keep me in my current means. My point is, it boils down to language games, literally. A word here or there, and or is an attorney's favorite word, because it opens up a whole variety of consequences.
It does, but that's, I mean, we're talking about such a niche area here when we're talking about accountability. Because when you think about accountability, accountability can be applied in every area of your life.
Let me make it real concrete. If an individual files bankruptcy, what does he feel about himself or herself, and what do her friends think about her? Ooh, that's taboo.
It's negative.
When a company does it, oh, that's just business. They're doing business. That's actually an accountable business, because those managers are being fiscally responsible for the shareholders' interest to keep that money out of creditors. That's my point. When individuals try to be accountable and say, I'm going to make a smart business or financial decision to protect my family and those I love and be dependable, they get poo-pooed on by public. A business does it. It's exact opposite. And I can't stand that.
I don't like that either. And I'm not going to argue that that's not true. That's absolutely true. However, when it comes to things like your daily life and whether or not you're going to be on time to a meeting that you told someone you were going to be
on
time to.
We're just fluctuating between different levels.
Right. I mean, we're talking about very different situations. So when I was talking about accountability and the ability to step up and take responsibility for things and say that, you know, I'll go ahead and deal with the consequences of the actions and decisions I make, I'm not talking about, you know, whether I'm doing it on behalf of a large global megacorp and there are no, you know, consequences because my lawyers say so. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about how do the listeners of this show look at accountability from a basic perspective to understand why they should be accountable and how being accountable on basic levels can improve your life.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know I'm all about accountability, obviously. I created the accountability crew for our friends.
And I think that's why it was so easy for you to go to that level. Because you take account...
It bothers me.
You take accountability as a given because you have integrated into like the most basic level of your life. If you say you're going to be somewhere at a certain time, you just are. And you expect that from others. There are people out there who don't have that. And... you know, they're the type of people who they're like the boat without a rudder people, right?
Right.
So they're always wondering why things aren't going the way that they want them to go. It's because they're not actually measuring anything and being accountable for it, right? So like when you say, I'm going to be accountable for the consequences. Well, consequences are based on measurements, right? So to have measurements, you have to set targets. Targets that you either hit or you don't hit. Like, there's all these little things that lead up to whether or not you consider yourself accountable.
So we talked about the high level, right? Socioeconomic status, political, corporate America kind of idea. And believe me, we both want to be rich, do we not? We both want to have money, so we have freedom with our time and families to do what we want. So we're not putting that down.
Yep.
Corporate America bit. We want to be our own owners.
Yeah.
But let's bring it down. I'll be there at 7 p.m., Dave, and then I'm not. I get there at 8, and I don't give you a call or anything, right? So what should that person, and that's their habitual pattern, what should they do?
Well, at first, I think you have to stop and reflect. And now, whether that's through the feedback that other people give you, or through just being cognizant of other people and the value that you value other people. What does that do? That shows that you don't value that other person's time, right? So there's an hour of that other person's time that you just wasted. And the other person sees that and they understand that, you know, next time that I'm supposed to meet with so-and-so.
Even a phone call, a text.
Yeah, anything.
Something small.
Next time that I'm going to meet with that person, I owe them nothing. Right. As a matter of fact, now they owe me. And I feel justified in taking advantage of their time next time.
Right. Then it becomes one upmanship, but in a downward spiral.
Yeah, negative way.
You mentioned a key word, and that's feedback. So many people, especially with our friends, not us per se, because we have a really unique structure that we've created, they won't give that feedback.
I know.
Because it's my friend.
I know.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm like the exact opposite of that. I'm like, what the fuck you doing here, man? You told me we're going to be here and you're not.
You do.
I hold people to those standards because I want to be held to those standards because I don't want to waste my time on this planet and I wouldn't want other people to waste theirs.
Well, and I think you do it in a good way. I think that that's the
playful.
That's the proper way to do it rather than to internalize it and use it as an excuse the next time that you're late.
Yeah, that's
which is what I think a lot of people do. But that's where I was going with this was to say that those actions that you take within that circle, doesn't matter if it's a circle of friends, if it's within your family, or if it's in the organization that you work, if you are seen as a leader there, a person who sets standards, then that becomes the standard. That becomes the culture of that, of your family, of your friend group, or your organization.
Right. Distrust in authorities and institutions is rampant today.
Well, and that's because you can see the results of their accountability. They aren't accountable. Anytime you see someone constantly pointing blame, right? So just taking this to a personal level again, what do you think about that person? They're always blaming someone. They never do anything.
You know, they're getting the old, it's not Danny Tanner. Who is it? Uncle Joey? Cut it out. They're cut out of my circle. Blamers and complainers, they're gone.
And it's because they're in the vicious downward cycle, right? Yeah. They're, to me, those people are hopeless. And if I spend my time on them, it is hopeless, wasted time that I'm trying
to. The world happens to them. Exactly. They're victims at all times. And it's just a boring pattern to be around.
And that's what does that go back to? Them not taking responsibility. Right,
accountability.
So yeah, what do I think about that in like large organizations and
political institutions?
I mean, I think that it comes down to that unfortunately, in the ones that we're talking about now, that has become the culture. The cultural expectation.
Right. I agree. I read a really interesting article today, though, that's about all of this without calling it accountability, right? So everyone, oh, we're so divisive, everything's so divided. And yet what this man did, AP, Associated Press, is he just looked at the presidency, right? The peak of political, who we've elected. Everyone has been two-term presidents for the last four. He's like, we are in an era of ultimate political stability. All at the smaller level and the media level, everything's divided in this and that. He's like, at the large level, it's absolutely not. We have great political stability. Yeah. And then he also looked at Senate races and House of Representative races. It's crazy. So what is that? What is that saying? There's a huge dialectical tension between no one's accountable, but then a ton of people are accountable at the same time.
I would guess that, and this is just a guess, I would guess that a lot of that comes back to the complexity of the system and a misunderstanding of what decisions and actions are being made by individuals and how that translates to actual results.
Results is a key word.
Yes.
Accountable people are accountable to and for their results or lack thereof. Politicians are accountable to their promises.
And that's the thing is, if you have a large, complex political system with many players all promising different things and all acting in different ways, the results in the end of the day are able to be shirked. And it's really hard to tie back who's actually responsible for what results.
Well, there is no, everyone else is responsible, right? The old, it was the previous administration.
But it's built to be that way. But your life isn't. That's the thing.
Right. What about traditions, though? And we can talk huge level again, religion, or just traditions in a family situation.
What do you mean by traditions?
Accountability, being reliable, dependable, and knowledgeable in a particular context, and creating or living by traditions, standards of behavior that are not only acceptable, that are valued, and then passed down from generation to generation.
So how does, I guess...
Religion has tons of accountability.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, lack of accountability, how does a lack of accountability become a tradition? Can you give me an example?
Sure. In a family that doesn't do what they say they're going to do, they wouldn't call it a tradition, but it is an emergent organic tradition of being completely whimsical and fly by the seat of their pants and unreliable.
I guess that I was thinking...
An anti-tradition.
Okay. I was thinking that when you're talking about a tradition, I guess when I was saying that becomes the culture, that's what I meant. You know?
It's the Sunday pancake dinner. We do it every weekend, Ron.
Right.
No, that's what I'm talking about, though, is like creating something that brings together a group of people and you hold those people accountable to it. So I've started Sunday night dinners with my family. Right. I'm going to be accountable to that and always do it. So then at what point does that tradition begin to constrain my accountability where I'm forcing us to do it when we have something else to go on? I'm like, well, nope, we have to do the Sunday night dinner. I got to be accountable to it.
I see. When is accountability a negative thing? Yeah. When it goes against the goals and the outcomes that you're trying to achieve. So what is the benefit of having the Sunday night dinner? Are you trying to become closer as a family? Are you trying to... What? And if it is you're trying to become closer as a family, is there something else that would be better that you're neglecting? That could be a negative thing. Or have you been arguing about the dinner for, or is there something negative that's occurring at the past several dinners that you're having to revisit every time that you have it?
Right.
I mean, if it goes against the goal that you're trying to achieve.
So can you be accountable without first thinking about the goal of the behaviors you're trying to be accountable for?
I would guess that you can become accountable for small things like baby steps without trying to draw a big picture and fully understand what it is that you're trying to achieve. So for example, if you just tell yourself, you know what, I'm no more am I going to be late. I've been late to everything, and you know, people treat me that way. I can tell that people treat me that way, and I think it's eroding into other areas of my life. I'm just going to take that as a first step, and I'm going to be on time to all my meetings. I think that that's a way that you can, I mean, there's a goal there, right? But it's a very small goal. It's not a really like huge thing where you don't really fully understand the impacts that you're having. But by taking that small step, you're building a foundation that can improve your relationships with other people, improve the way that you're looked at work.
I agree.
Improve your self-confidence to be able to achieve.
You're missing a lot of steps in between. And as an executive coach, I can say that. No, not probably. You are.
Okay.
You can't just make a behavior change once you have an established pattern of behavior with a particular group of people, especially in a professional setting. To change 100%, you have to get every single day be advertising this behavior change. You know what? I know I'm bad at this and I'm working
That's
on
right.
it. Right?
That's right.
And if you are not constantly advertising, reminding, seeking feedback, making changes based on that feedback, even if you change 100%, they're going to notice a 10% change.
They won't notice.
Because the negative pattern will overshadow, the positive behavior change.
Well, it's the impression that you had, right?
It's impression management.
Yeah. No, that's I get that and I fully understand that. And I don't disagree with it.
So the most accountable public figure that I have read about is Robert Gates. Do you know who he is?
No.
Former Secretary of Defense for both Bush and Obama, former Director of the CIA, I believe twice, former President of Texas A&M University, current President of the Boy Scouts of America organization, who had the huge issue going on with the whether to bring on openly homosexual people, and it was splintering the organization. Now their resounding membership is going up crazy amounts. One of the most respected public leaders in the world because he's ultra accountable. How does he do it? How does he do it across lines at such a high level in politics, in business, economics?
I don't know. I mean, you know his accomplishments more. How would you say he does it?
I got to go to a dinner when he was at Texas A&M. He was outgoing. Bush had tapped him to become the Secretary of Defense. And I was lucky enough to attend dinner at his house on campus. And he opened up the floor and said, you can ask me anything. So of course I wanted to talk about leadership. And I said, what is your best leadership lesson? And for me, it was about accountability and helping others be accountable. Praise loudly, publicly, and often, and blame privately whenever possible.
I like that.
And to me, it goes back to the feedback part, the part of accountability. So we can be accountable all day. It's easy to be accountable once you start doing it for yourself. But holding others accountable to what they said they were going to do is more difficult for some reason for people.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Even us, right? Even we've had to shift some stuff around.
Well, because there are conflicts. There's conflict. Nobody likes conflict. Everyone shirks away from it. You know, you are an expert at that. But that being said, I mean, I think there's a flip side of holding others accountable, and I believe it is taking responsibility for failure publicly. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine a great leader like that would stand up and say, we've failed in this area. We're going to make some changes, and we're going to, you know, fix this.
Right the ship.
But... you know, I take responsibility for that failure. And then they go back to their team. Maybe they didn't have control over it. Maybe it was their team that completely failed. Right. And everything that they were doing was right. But by standing up and taking that responsibility, people will have trust in that leader.
They'll die for that person.
They'll work way harder for that person.
Yeah, they don't throw them under the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me ask you this. Taking it down, again, we're going high to low. So sorry, people, if it's hard to follow. That's just how our brains work sometimes. Tell me about what you think about the accountability crew.
I think that it's good because, and let's explain what it is.
Yeah, explain what it is and then what you personally think about it. Because I had a reason for creating it and what I think it is. But.
So there are a group of our friends that are on a message board using an application called Voxer where you can leave voice messages for the entire group. And what the accountability crew allows people to achieve is that when they will basically set a goal, they will announce it to the group. And then they will give periodic check-ins as to their successes or failures. And the idea is that you, by announcing it to the group, you are now held accountable to the group, not just yourself. And other people will give you feedback and motivation to try to help you, for you to help achieve whatever it is that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So what do I think about it? I think that it's an amazing tool that can be very effective, but there are some dependencies there.
Yeah.
So the audience is a very important one.
Yep.
Right? So how much respect do you have for the audience and how much are you afraid of letting them down? That's a huge one. What is the culture of that audience, right? If it's a culture of failure, then it's not going to help you much because you're not going to feel pressured because everyone else is failing, so I'm just going to fail too.
Right. Frequency of interaction.
Yeah,
who's getting on to check up on people, to send out motivational statements? Who's getting on when they're failing, surrounded by a bunch of winners, which, to be quite honest, that's our group, achievers, to acknowledge, you know, I messed up. Well, I didn't achieve this.
In my notes for the show, something I wanted to bring up is that to be accountable, you need measurements. So those check-ins are measurements, right? And if there's no one sitting there saying, hey, it's time for a measurement, you know, then you're not going to have a target. You're not going to understand whether you're on track to achieve or to miss your target if you're not taking frequent measurements, frequent check-ins. Okay. So I think that accountability is an important thing that you need to have on a personal level first.
Yep.
Once you have it at a personal level, it will start to pervade other areas of your life. And I think that you can have it in it will be a positive impact in other areas of your life. So the organizations that you belong to, your family, your closest circles, and then to your outer circles, your business, to your work environment. And I think on the opposite side, people who don't give attention to accountability, who are unwilling to accept responsibility for things, are those people that successful people try to avoid because it's pervasive in the other way too.
Yep.
So when we think about it from that regard, if we're talking about how do we improve ourselves when it comes to accountability, you got to think of some actions that you're going to take first, right? So What are the first basic things that you would do if you were trying to become better in the area of accountability?
So are we at the change challenge? Is that what you're asking for here?
Sure.
The first would stair-step your goals, right? So look at the very top of the stairs. What's the big goal? And then break it down into those smaller incremental goals. And there's a variety of acronyms out there. SMART goals, of course, comes to mind. But at the end of the day, it's about finding an audience, a specific audience that can hold you accountable to your smaller goals. And they are also in line with your large end goal. Until you get someone else to breathe that fire when you need it, to motivate you when you need it, to be a coach and a mentor, right? To ask those questions where you plant the seed, or to say, here's what you need to do, you're not going to be accountable to yourself, especially if you're an unaccountable person already.
So let's do something then on the change challenge. Let's take those two principles that you just talked about, goals and feedback or support. So let's take something in your life that you're unhappy about, and that you know that you have the freedom and the control to change. Now, there's an important distinction here. You have to start with self-honesty. If you can't be honest with yourself that you have the control and the freedom to change it, then you will never achieve it in the first place. So step one, be honest with yourself. Admit that you can impact this and that you can change it. Step two, set goals. Set a stair step of goals, small at first and then larger, to achieve your ultimate
mission, if you will.
Yeah, your ultimate mission. And step three, start talking to people that you love and that you respect and announce your plan.
Yeah, advertise. I like calling it advertise.
Sure, advertise. And ask for their support and their brutal honesty with you. Because like we said, you know, in a friend group, if you're not giving feedback, right, then it just is going
to
be...
It's called coaching the coach, right? So you're basically saying, I need you to help coach me on this. Here's what I'm expecting of you to help me achieve this goal. Because right, if I show you a drawing and I'm not an artist, you're going to be very nice and make, oh, well, you know, this and that. If I give you a drawing, I say, I need you to rip this apart because that's going to help me make it the best drawing possible. You will then look at that through a different lens.
And then at the end, and I think this is one of the most important parts, recognize your failure or your success. So many people miss that part, right? Mm-hmm. So you're tracking based on those sets of goals to hit your main goal. So many people will just adjust those goals and they'll never hit their main goal and they'll use excuses and say, well, but I was trying, but I was whatever. You know what? Take accountability. Set a time frame for which you have to hit that main goal. If you don't hit it, stand up and say, guess what? I failed.
Perfect.
And then talk to the person that who is your support group or the people who are your support group and come up with a new plan to improve.
So that's the first change challenge. I love it. Multiple steps. Dave laid it out very clearly. The second one segues perfectly into what I was thinking about, and it's what I call an accountability confession. Right? Anyone that was raised Catholic, you know what I'm talking about. You own it. You step up to that group or even yourself, but you can't just think it. If it's just yourself and you didn't involve anyone else in that accountability goal, write yourself a letter, print it out, seal it, and actually mail it to yourself so it comes back to you. And you have to open it and read it, because that tangible function, that time that's involved, even if it's a few days, when you get that back, it's going to slap you in the face rather than just thinking, oh, I didn't do it. Okay. So have an accountability confession with a group in person or via some app. Again, we use Voxer, V-O-X-E-R, wonderful tool. I use it with all my coaching clients. It's free, or you can get very affordable packages. So get out there, do something. Dave, any last words before we wrap up?
Yeah. If you start to do this, you're going to be amazed at the impact that it has in all areas of your life. Accountability is an important thing.
Absolutely. So thanks again for listening to Life Lab. Hopefully you picked up one or two new ways to be more accountable. Now go experiment with life.